time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Almau. From domestic disputes to domestic terrorism, police blockades, SWAT teams, automatic weapons being fired from a room high in a hotel and a crowded concert. Friends, the men and women who serve in law enforcement of this country are a special breed of people. You know, the fact that they will enter into harm's way really at any moment of any day. I mean, they're there when you need them. And think about that. When you need someone at that moment of need, who do you think about? You call 911, you call the police. That's who you call, man. We all do that. Let's face it, right? You need a brother or sister in arms to help. And it happens. It happens every day, every hour, every minute of every day. Well, we cannot say the same thing, though, when it comes to the media in America and the crooked politicians, two of my favorite villains to expose for what they are. Today, friends, we'll talk about the state of law enforcement in America, its past, its present, its future. So I want to introduce to you here Dave Smith. Dave is probably the most recognized police trainer and author in the industry today. He uses the science of human performance combined with humor to train officers to win through his alter ego, which you may have heard of, Buck Savage. Yeah, that's Dave Smith. And I'm going to start, Dave, with you. And I want to ask you up front here. You know, police officers are being targeted and assassinated in what seems like for no reason at all. And we've seen a rash of these over the last several years, actually. Dave, is it racially motivated? Is it driven by gangs? Is it politically motivated? What's behind all this?
That's a huge question that we all have, is because there is obviously an ideological device being used by certain politicians to demonize law enforcement, to stigmatize America. And law enforcement is a deep part of the American culture. And that's, I guess, one of the key things is that many people see law enforcement as some kind of subversive force instead of the positive force it is in the United States. And tragically, I think the reflex to fight law enforcement, the stigma of fighting law enforcement, has been taken away. And now it's part of the resist movement. There's a lot of issues that are not discussed because people simply have not been allowed to discuss things anymore because of the stigmatization that we see, the ability to stifle anybody's debate. Well, when you can't debate things, after a while, now you're in a situation where we have a hard time even getting people to understand is that law enforcement is not there to hurt you, is not there to cause a problem, is there to protect the innocent, but at the same time, enforce the law. This countercultural effect we're seeing across the board. We have the intellectual elites, we have the academia, we have the impoverished underclass are all being given a sense of moral superiority being against law enforcement. This is the worst I've seen in my lifetime. I'm almost 67, and I've never seen it so dangerous. And thank God that law enforcement training is still at a high level. Our equipment, our body armor, and the state of medicine, frankly, is what's allowing law enforcement officers to survive, because it is more dangerous than I've ever seen.
All the forces are coming in against law enforcement is what you're saying. And as I said in the opening remark, Dave, it's really a lot of it I find politically motivated, media motivated. And as you say, all the sound bites are pointed in that direction, are they not, right? I mean, and that's
exactly right.
Yeah,
it's what and again, you have that pseudo-intellectual elite group. Mm-hmm. That comes up with their false data. You know, criminology is no longer the science of crime. It's the science of a left-wing ideology. So you get a lot of the data I read is very poor science, if not propaganda. And tragically, for 8 years, the law enforcement community was subject to a Department of Justice that had the same antagonism that the liberal elites and the media have. So this has been a strange this newest century.
So now you get a sense, friends. I mean, Dave puts it out there perfectly. You get a sense of some of the problems we're dealing with now and we're facing. And this is a serious problem because, let me tell you right now, if you don't have law enforcement here on the streets of America, you're done. you're done. I mean, because that's what it takes to keep the peace here. Let's bring on here and enter in here, please, Dr. Ron Martinelli. So let me tell you about Ron. He's a retired police detective, has a background in investigations, forensics, psychological profiling, and violent crimes, death scene investigations. He's a national voice, certainly on these topics, and referred to as the expert's expert. He has a show on the platform, A Thread of Evidence, that plays in the evening 9 Eastern Time, 6 on the West Coast. Of course, as I mentioned already, Ron, you had all of these kind of assassination type attacks, I would say, which were really something we hadn't really seen before, to the level of what we've seen, where these criminals are going out of their way to target the men and women in uniform. You know, what do you say about that?
I have to deal with all of the so-called pseudo-criminologists that are coming out of the woodwork and presenting these false statistics. The police officers' deaths back in 2016 was the highest we've ever seen since the 70s, and before that during the Bonnie and Clyde era. This year, we are on track where we were last year, which was one of the highest levels of law enforcement deaths that we've ever experienced. One interesting thing that Dave said is that the science of medicine and emergency triage on site and self-triage and treatment by law enforcement officers has increased to the point where many officers are able to save themselves through triage, where before they would have easily succumbed. So now they carry tourniquet packets, the gunshot wound packets, sucking wound chest packets. And just yesterday, an Oregon police officer that was shot could have been easily killed had he not applied a tourniquet. So we are seeing this. But the politicians really drive what is happening in America with respect to the imperfect ideology that they are presenting. I know my wife, Linda Martinelli, who is a great columnist on America Out Loud, wrote a column very recently where she equated the politician to dysfunctional parents and the citizens as their children. And so when you see the politicians spewing out anti-law enforcement rhetoric, the children, which are the citizens, pick that up. They don't vet any of that information. They just pick it up and they run with it. And it is absolutely part of the resist movement, which was brought about really back with Barack Obama, with Professor Gates, and then Trayvon Martin, and Michael Brown, and Tamir Rice. You know, a couple of these cases are my cases, or they were my cases. And I knew factually that everything that Obama was saying and the minions were saying was absolutely wrong. Black Lives Matter has come out with it's called Campaign Zero program. And that program is specifically designed to disenfranchise, defund, and dissolve law enforcement. Why would they want to do that? Because this is a country of laws, and law enforcement are the centurions, and they are the protectors of the rule of law.
Wow. I mean, that should tell you a lot, Ron. That's a great, that should tell folks a lot, what you're saying right there. And the turning point for a lot of this, in my mind, seems to have been, we know, it seems to be Ferguson was a turning point in this country where things really got spotlighted, and this criminality and the hands up, don't shoot business all started here. I want to introduce now and bring you over, friends, to Sergeant Betsy Smith. So let me tell you about Sergeant Betsy. She's a police officer for 29 years. She was a law enforcement trainer for over 20 years, and a trainer and author as well, and out of Arizona. What's different today, based on these recent events that have happened, how is it different today, policing, than it was 20 years ago, Betsy?
Well, today we have so much more technology involved. So now officers, you know, there's lots of cell phone video. There is, you know, we used to, 20 years ago, maybe some departments had dash cam. Now everybody's got dash cam, body cam, and citizens have cameras. So now everything is on camera and it's immediately out there. Mm-hmm. And so now people can be, rather than waiting for the facts, you know, this just happened in Texas last week. We had a police officer tries to arrest a woman. She takes his taser away. He ends up having to shoot and kill her. And that video is immediately put on social media by some other bystanders there. And it was a man, police officer shoots pregnant woman, unarmed pregnant woman of color. She wasn't pregnant. She took his taser. And yet we had this huge frenzy. And that's what you talked about officer ambush.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons we're seeing this increase in officer ambush is because people think that we're out there murdering our unarmed citizens and especially young men of color. And it's just not true. One of the things that we teach now in our officer survival classes is we teach officers how to help fight that false narrative. 50 million people are contacted by American law enforcement every year, about 50 million people. Of those 50 million people we have contact with, less than 1,000 of them are shot and killed by the police. And only about less than 1% of those are quote unquote unarmed. So we're not a bunch of murdering thugs out there, but that's what the media wants you to believe. That's what the Democrats want you to believe. That's what Black Lives Matter wants you to believe. And it's costing us lives, our lives. And it's going to cost the lives of our citizens.
Yeah, yeah. Well said. It's a narrative, Betsy. That's you're right. I call it an indoctrination, into these thoughts.
Absolutely. And now we're seeing the law follow it. California right now is and Dr. Ron and Brian talked about this, is now running through the legislation with some incredibly tight legislation on use of force, where police officers are just going to step back. We're going to become firefighters. We've been talking about this on America Out Loud for a couple of years now. We're going to become firefighters. We're not going to proactively patrol for crime. We're going to wait till the crime's over, and then we'll respond and clean up the mess.
Well, you're so well said. You always speak from the heart, man. Love you guys. I want to bring on now, please, a gentleman who's been with us from day number one, actually, here at America Out Loud, friends, Lieutenant Randy Sutton. Very, very dear friend. He's a 34-year law enforcement veteran, retired from the Las Vegas Police Department. He's also the founder of the Wounded Blue, and I want to talk to you about the Wounded Blue today. But here's the thing. All right, so Randy is one of those guys that this man really does bleed blue. I mean, if there's any officer you've ever met in your life who really gets it, and you know that when you hear him speak, because it's all about body language and authenticity, and when you connect your thoughts and your heart and your soul, you can speak about this stuff like nobody's business, you understand. Now, how do I know that? Well, I'm going to tell you how you can know it as well. What I want you to do, this is important now, what we're going to do today. This is a big hour here of law enforcement. Very important to me. It should be very important to you, friends. I want you to go to the very top of AmericaOutloud.com. And there is a link there to purchase the film for The Wounded Blue. Now, I tell you this for a couple of reasons, okay? You can rent or purchase it. And I purchased it and I watched it here this past week. And it is an outstanding, outstanding film. And I hope you all will go, please get it. Now, I think the film, you can buy it for like $7, $8, $9, whatever it is. If you want SD, HD or whatever you got to do, it doesn't matter what, just watch the thing, And then, you can rent it for a couple of bucks or whatever. But the point is, the film really documents the real life history of several people that you feel the pain and you feel real life what these people are going through and what's happening and the plight of the American law enforcement official. You see what's happening to their lives and how they are, what they're being subjected to and how they're being ignored, people from municipalities and agencies and cities and states and our federal government across the board, and what is really going on here. So the film is a must see. There's no doubt in my mind. It's on Amazon. The links are right now in the America Out Loud bookstore. You can buy the film right there. Just go look up Lieutenant Randy Sutton on the America Out Loud bookstore. It's right there. But the links are at the top of the platform. Go buy the film. Please, go buy it. And it's an hour. and take an hour, sit down with your family, sit down with your kids, and look at this film. Please do this today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it today, please. Please get the film, watch the film. That's what you got. It's that simple. It's an hour. We can all sacrifice an hour. And it's a riveting film. So I need you to do that, number one, please, is get that film and watch the film. It is absolutely worth every minute, I'm telling you. The next thing I need for you to do is to donate to the Wounded Blue. And let me tell you what that means. I just made my donation this morning here. And I need you to do the same thing. I need Dr. Ron Martinelli to do it. I need Linda Martinelli. I need Sergeant Betsy Smith, Dave Smith. I need everybody on the line here to do it. I need you out there to do it, please. And here's what I want to ask you to do. The link is at the top of America Out Loud. And it's a donation you make to the Wounded Blue. We're going to tell you all about the Wounded Blue, the documentary, the film. A little bit later in the show, the director of the film will join Randy and I, and we'll talk about this as well and give you some back history of what went on and about the film. And so a very cool segment. You want to hear that. But I need you to donate a few bucks. Listen to me here. This is so important when you see again the film and the plight of these officers and what we need to help them. I plead with you to put, now I'm going to ask you, I'm tell you straight out here. Is what I'd like you to, I'd like to start the bidding at $100. I'm serious now. If you've got $100, I ask you to put it on the Wounded Blue. If you can't do $100, do at least, do $50, okay? If you can do $200, that's even a beautiful thing as well, okay? Do what you can is the bottom line, people, okay? Here's the deal. It's all about numbers. Every little bit counts. Every little bit counts. And that's what makes the difference here. So that money is raised and it's going to be provide very badly needed services to these officers because they're not getting it, friends, from their cities and states and municipalities and our feds. And that's a whole nother topic we're going to dive into in just a moment here. So, all right, so that's the deal. This is real important. It's real important for law enforcement. I want to move the meter. I want to move the meter today. I need you to do that. Okay, I just did the donation myself. I did. Malcolm did. I need you to do the same thing, please. Okay. And we need to move the meter. We need to raise a few bucks for the Wounded Blue. This is a brand new organization. We're going to talk about that, friends, and much more. And we'll have Lieutenant Randy Sutton on in just a moment here. We're going to take a quick pause on the special edition of Viewpoint.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
I'm going to ask you to go to thewoundedblue.org. That's www.thewoundedblue.org. That is the website for the organization that is the National Association for Injured and Disabled Police Officers. It is a support organization for these men and women who have given so much in the line of duty. We desperately need your help to raise money to get this movement going. And if you are a GoFundMe-er, go to GoFundMe, look up the Wounded Blue, and you can give there as well. But check it out, please, and also check out our film, The Wounded Blue, on Amazon.com.
The Wounded Blue. Let me bring on again Lieutenant Randy Sutton, as I introduced him. The last segment, 34-year law enforcement veteran, retired from LVPD. The Wounded Blue was a very special project. I know you started telling me about it a couple of years ago almost, that you wanted to do something really unique for these officers. I see your passion in the film. I see as you're talking about it, and it's riveting, actually. And we'll talk to Jason Harney more about that, the director, a little bit here. But tell us about why it was time to start the Wounded Blue.
Well, thanks so much for asking me about that, Malcolm. And, you know, it's a pleasure to be on your show, especially with my friends Ron and Dave and Betsy. I've been listening to their responses to your questions. And you'll never hear a more comprehensive and more truthful set of answers than you did today about the plight of the American law enforcement officer today. The Wounded Blue is the national assistance and support organization for injured and disabled law enforcement. Because what has happened is shocking to most. In fact, most police officers don't even know this, that if you get shot, stabbed, beaten, run over by a car, depending on the jurisdiction in which this happened, you may very well be left to hang out and dry all by yourself. One of the officers that is in the film, The Wounded Blue, was shot in the head with a rifle round during a pursuit with three murder suspects. And they never even gave him a neurologist. The medical care they gave him was substandard. And now he's living on $275 a week. And no one can comprehend that because it is so unjust. And the film highlights that, brings forth the realities of what is facing most of these men and women. And the reason I started it, Malcolm, believe me, trust me when I tell you this, after I left the police department, I had no intention of creating an organization of this magnitude. But the incredibly heartbreaking communications I was getting from police officers all over the country about what happened when they got hurt and disabled was astounding to me. And I thought, okay, wait a minute, there has to be an organization that helps these folks. And I looked around and looked around, and there were some local ones, but there was no one addressing this on a national basis. And so I felt that my mission, it was, you know, sometimes, you know, when I retired, I didn't expect to retire. I had a stroke in my police car. It was the scariest thing that ever happened to me. And my own department refused to pay my medical bills. I had to go to court to make them do what they were legally responsible to do. So I got a taste of it. You know, I was okay because I had 24 years of service with Metro, and I could retire and feed myself. Many of these men and women don't have that opportunity. So I got a taste of it. It happened to me. And I got to tell you, you know, after giving a police department 24 years of your life, quite literally almost giving my life for the agency on several occasions, to be told that, and I went to the sheriff, I said, how can you treat me like this? After 24 years, the guy I had served with for 24 years, he looked at me just as matter-of-factly, as you can imagine, and said, Randy, this isn't personal, it's just business. And so that's why we created this organization. And our motto is the most important message of all: never forgotten, never alone. And I truly do need the help of the American public, not only to support the organization, but they can now become members of the Wounded Blue. And that is probably even more important, because by becoming a member of the Wounded Blue, you can join these men and women. You could show your support. And at the same time, you get a sticker for your car, you get a driver's license holder. And we've actually got an incredible deal with 300,000 businesses across the United States who will give a discount to every member. So we're really trying to bring the people and the police closer together through the Wounded Blue.
Very good. Is that information on membership is on the website, thewoundedblue.org, I assume?
It certainly is. We just started this week.
Did you? Wow, incredible, incredible. What's the membership cost, quick, Randy?
It's a $36 donation.
Dave, what about new recruits, I want to ask you? Are new recruits down? Are people still getting into the law enforcement profession, or what's happening there?
This is one of the problems I see, is that the more and more agencies tell me they're having a hard time finding the qualified candidate.
Right.
And that's the problem, is that in this day and age, it's really tough. The quality candidate has really got a choice across the board, because agencies are desperate. Yeah, let's face it, the media and the politicians are doing everything they can to make this as unattractive as possible. But fortunately, there are still people born with that spirit that they want to go out and protect and serve their communities. Thank God for those people.
Yeah, ironic, Dave. That's where I started my conversation on the monologue today, was the media and politicians. And isn't that the way that circle continues to come back here in the talk here, you know, which just is a documentation to me that we all sort of know what's going on here. Dr. Ron Martinelli, back to you. I want to talk to you about sanctuary cities, illegals, homeless, drugs, and legalized drugs as well. That's on a push around the nation now to legalize everything. I'm not sure if the idea is to keep people dumb, deaf, and stupid, or just to keep them high as a kite, or what the exact, what the accomplished the goal is they want here. But anyways, let's talk specifically. How does this all impact specifically, Ron, law enforcement, when we talk about these, again, sanctuary cities, illegals, homeless, drugs, illegal drugs even now I'm talking about? How does this all impact?
This week, the United States government is moving 250 1,000 illegal aliens to various parts of the country. They need to move them away from the border states because they're inundated. So 250,000 people that have not been vetted. I'm sure that a number of them are MS-13 gang members, of which we have over 50,000 of those members in the United States, probably the most violent pan-international gang that we have. Let me give you some insight. Now, today, I'm in Texas, and I'm going to be traveling through Texas to do work in California. I go through a very small town called Deming, New Mexico. This is a town of maybe 2,500 people. Last week, the United States government moved 250 illegal aliens without notice into the town of Deming and just deposited them there. Okay, didn't take them to houses, didn't take them to shelters, deposited them there. So you get 250 people, and all of a sudden, they're all over the place, and law enforcement is going, what happened? The sheriffs in the counties of El Paso, Texas, which is, by the way, where Beto O'Rourke is from, all right, he's the congressional representative for El Paso, and the two counties that are in Texas and New Mexico are inundated with illegal aliens and cartel members moving drugs. Now, heretofore, they had task force of which the Border Patrol and Customs were involved in. They had to pull all those customs agents out of those task force where their only job is to enforce not only immigration, but drug trafficking laws. They pulled them all out and sent them to the detention centers to help with the humanitarian crisis there. It devastates those sheriff's office that only have three or four deputies on these task force. So tons, literally tons of illegal drugs and cartel members and sex traffickers and you name it, come through that porous border because the sheriff's office no longer have that backup from the federal government. That's just illegal aliens. The next one is homelessness. Homelessness is through the roof in every major town. Last week, I was in the town in Asheville, and I was working with their cold case homicide unit on some work I'm doing in Nashville. So I had an opportunity to talk with street officers and detectives in the department. When I walk around on the street, and Linda and I did a program about this, Nashville in just 3 years has changed demonstrably. That is full of homeless people, a lot of parolees, wow, and drug addicts. And they're so blatant, they hold up signs that say, hey, who's kidding who? I need weed or I need meth. I couldn't believe it. I should have taken pictures of the sign. The cops, they're having a tremendous, and how does this affect law enforcement? Very quickly, the guys were all telling me they can hardly wait for retirement. They don't feel appreciated by the mayor and the city council, and they are having a significant recruiting problem. That's how these things are.
They want to get the hell out of Dodge, obviously. Absolutely. Ron. Yeah, you can't blame them. Yeah.
Look at Portland. Look at Seattle. Yeah, right. Look at San Diego. Look at Los Angeles. Look at San Francisco.
You know, it makes me so sad, Ron, to see what's happening to our urban cores, our American cities, great American cities that are being decimated. It's so wrong. It's evil what's happening here. We're being gutted out. I'm telling you, middle America and our urban cities, they're being gutted out here. It's not going to be a pleasant future if we don't control this stuff. I don't feel good about what's happening here, man, at all. I think we're in for a rude awakening just ahead. But what is the future of law enforcement? You've got, AI coming quick. You've got all this technology now that's being banned. What do you see happening here ahead?
Well, technology greatly affects the way that we do our jobs, but you have to have people that are willing to work within that technology, and you have to have cities and other jurisdictions that are willing to deal with it as well. So we're going to, everybody outside of the law enforcement profession gets most of their knowledge of the profession from either the media or from television shows. So people already think that there's some nationwide database and with facial recognition and all that. If people only knew the differences in technology between jurisdictions. But the future of law enforcement is going to go back to not technology, but to people. And that's where we're having our biggest crisis, is we are having a very difficult time retaining and first of all, recruiting and then retaining young people for this profession. And we see it in every class that Dave and I teach around the country. We're talking to people who are saying, my department is 20% down, 25% down.
Why would somebody want to join the profession of law enforcement when we've just spelled out everything we've said? I mean, think about this intelligently. Why would somebody want to join? For what reason, Betsy? I don't get it. I mean, why would one want to risk their life in such a way or go through these sort of ridicules we've just pointed out? I mean, why? What? Talk to me.
Well, fortunately, and we see this every single day when we're out there, is there still are quality young people in this country who want to serve their communities. I mean, think about it. Why would anybody be a nurse? Why would anybody be a teacher? Why would anybody be a cop or firefighter? Because there is a driving need to serve in the people who choose those professions. Law enforcement is a great, wonderful adventure. And everybody here on this call will tell you on this show, will say, I had a ball for the whole time that I was a cop. It's a fantastic job. It's never the same. And yeah, you get to serve your community. There are always going to be, I believe, there's always going to be people who are going to be driven toward this profession. And we meet a lot of kids who we're in a law enforcement family. We meet a lot of military veterans who, when they get out of the military, when they come back from the Middle East, want to serve in law enforcement.
But a lot of these other professions don't have they're not in the same situation that law. I mean, you point out other professions like nurses and things. I mean, people are not walking in and shooting nurses. It's not the same thing. I mean, what we're talking about is the casualties and the problems here and the lack of respect. And so everybody has already confirmed that recruiting is way off. And you're saying, Betsy, that it's 20-25% off and things of that nature. So how is law enforcement going to attract the future officer? What I'm saying is, if things are as bad as they are and we're on that trajectory, how does that change? I mean, we can sit here and talk riddles and pleasant, but I mean, how does that really truly change? Or is the industry really in trouble in the next 10, 20 years?
Well, it's got to change with the leadership. And that's right. There's where we have the problems. We can talk about this all day long, mm-hmm. but until you get law enforcement leaders mm-hmm. that are willing to stand up to the media and stand up to the politicians, we're going to continue to have this problem. What we're seeing now, anecdotally, is we're seeing a slight shift. We're seeing some trickle down, especially with sheriffs who are different than police chiefs. Mm-hmm. We're seeing with sheriffs where the sheriffs are starting to stand up against the left, against the anti-cop agenda. There are some police chiefs as well, but the problem is as long as that job is going to be as political as it is, as long as law enforcement is being politicized, and these law enforcement leaders have to stay political to keep mm-hmm. their jobs, we're going to continue to have a problem. Eventually, what's going to happen is the citizens, the people we serve, they're going to get tired of it. Mm-hmm. And they're going to stand up and say, look, we need protection. And you people are the ones who are supposed to protect it.
I mean, this all makes sense to me. It's got to make sense to you out there too, people. I mean, come on, you listen to all of this. But, you know, I'm just asking really the questions you're probably thinking out there. Why would somebody want to, right? I mean, it's a good question. I mean, let's say it's your nephew or your cousin or your son or your brother or sister or whatever. You know what I'm saying here? I mean, and the stakes are really high. Randy, at the end of your show every week on Blue Lives Radio, you have something called the end of watch. And it's where emotionally you're speaking about officers that were killed, many of them in the line of duty over the past week. And there was one week in recent weeks where you said there were no officers killed, and it was really a moment of interest to me because there was a jump in your step, like I'm really thrilled. Like, if we could keep this going, I'd be really happy. We could eliminate this from the show. But of course, it's not a reality of everything we're speaking about. And really, end of watch is an important element, Randy, because that's really what we're talking about here with the men and women who serve. They take all of this at their risk, and many of them will walk into the end of watch, and they give their life for a fellow American.
And that's the reality. I mean, when we take the job, we all understand that there is a strong component of violence towards the law enforcement community. We all accept that there is the possibility that we may be called to, you know, go into a situation where it is life-threatening. Nobody signs on to get killed, but we all sign on knowing that there is an element of danger that is unique to any experience in the United States. I mean, what other job do you go into knowing that it's not a matter of if you're going to be physically assaulted, it's a matter of when you're going to be physically assaulted.
Think about that, Randy. Think about what you just say. You know, it's a matter of when. And you know, Randy, what you say is so true, but also these officers, they also want to believe that somebody will have their back, that when that happens, that the agency, the police city itself, the state, the towns, our government will have their back. And that doesn't appear to be the case from what we're seeing. Of course, when you watch the film, you sort of know this. I want to ask you one last thing here before we bring Jason Harney on and talk about the Wounded Blue. And that is, what about a law of some sort? And put this out to the collective group here. Just tell me if you have an answer to this. But what about a law? I'm talking about a federal action now, a national law of some measure that would demand better for all. In other words, I'm looking for a safeguard that I would like to demand of our leaders to say there's some sort of a fund there. And I'm talking federally here, people. I mean, we spend money so foolishly like drunken sailors in D.C. We can certainly demand that there is some sort of a fund to support our law enforcement officers. What about that? And why can't we do that? David, do you have an answer for that?
I don't have answers. I'll say this, though, that mm-hmm. this administration finally is pro-law enforcement, and that bully right. pulpit right. is powerful. Hopefully they could come up with a law enforcement welfare, health and welfare act where we support these officers. Because you're right. It's
Amen.
We have so many officers assaulted now. It's yep. become almost a daily process of seeing officers killed or injured, and we've got to do something.
Well, and instead of just waiting for that, what Randy has done, he's gone ahead and put together the Wounded Blue. Obviously, he recognizes, as I recognize, and you out there recognize as well, because I know many of you as great Americans understand that you can't sit and wait for government to do things because it's just not going to work that way, people. We know that. Come on now. And so we've got to take matters into our own hands. That's what he has done with the Wounded Blue. So here's the deal again. I ask you, when we're going to bring the director on now, and we're going to talk about the film, The Wounded Blue. I need you to watch the film. It's absolutely worth every moment of watching this film. I want you to watch it with your family, please. If you have children, watch it with the kids, please. It's an hour. It's better than those corrupt video games that they spend the hour. Take the hour away and let them watch something that's going to be positive for their brains. And let them see what's happening here on this film. It definitely is something to watch with the family and with your significant other. And just really take in that message. Now, you can rent it or buy it. It doesn't matter to me. Just watch the film, please. Okay. The link for that is on America Out Loud, but it's thewoundedblue.org. You can just find it there. The trailer, it's all up there. And so the other thing is, again, pleading with you, including everybody on this call, and I'm asking you to do it today, not tomorrow and not next week, but now while you're thinking about it, take your credit card or debit card out, please. And go to the site and put a few bucks. Let's start. If you can do $100, do $100. If you can't do 50, if you do two, terrific. Whatever, just put some dollars in the pot, please, to help officers out. You just got to do that, people. We all need to do that. Okay.
And Malcolm, we just did it while we're sitting here. I just did it on my phone. It literally took about 8 seconds. So people need to just get on. It's a click, 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 donate situation.
Sergeant Betsy, you always take things in your own hands. And I appreciate you so much. I knew you would, because we talked about it the other day. And I told her, I said, we got to all put some money in the pot here and help the wounded blue out. So listen, what I'd like to do now is bring on the director, Jason Harney. And I'd like to talk about the Wounded Blue, the film, the making of it, what's happened, along with Lieutenant Randy Sutton. And I want to thank here personally the four on this call right now that are just magnificent people. I love every one of these people right here. Dave Smith, Dr. Ron Martinelli, Sergeant Betsy Smith, Lieutenant Randy Sutton. And again, we honor all law enforcement officers from sea to shining sea out there, friends. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. americaoutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Bring on here now again, back with us, still on the program here, Lieutenant Randy Sutton is here with us. And joining us as well is the director of the film, Jason Harney, joins us for this call. And he's also a retired police sergeant, so for many, many years. And so he understands the story. Jason, let's start off here and talk about this. I mean, listen, what... I want to ask you what you wanted to accomplish with the film, but let me tell you first, describe to you what I got out of the film, okay? As I watched the film, the adjectives that came to my mind quickly were outrage, selfish, corrupt, heartless, and then the question, how can this happen in America? And then I wonder, is there another agenda at play here? Because it makes no sense to me. Jason, what do you say about that?
Well, I can tell you, it makes no sense to me either. When we started this project, you know, Randy had approached me just a few years ago. And I think what was happening is over social media primarily, he was getting a lot of police officers who were asking him for help and telling him about these horrible things that had happened to them on duty. Tragic circumstances where their police departments weren't taking care of them and they didn't know where to turn. And as these stories began to pile up, you know, this is, as you know, what made Randy feel the need to start an organization like the Wounded Blue. But he also wanted a film that would hopefully not only show the mainstream and our police base, but the general public that these problems actually exist, that it is indeed a national problem that has to be addressed. And I think that's kind of where all of this started. And yeah, when you look at the stories that occur in the film, I thought the same thing. Having worked for a very large police department during my career, pretty much everybody I recall that was in similar circumstances was indeed taken care of. But given that the vast majority of police departments in this country have 50 or less officers, so we found that's not the case. Police officers are not taken care of the way you think they are.
Yeah, no, they're not. I mean, that's exactly it. You don't have a clue until you have a clue. I mean, until you really see it in action. I guess that's why it was so important. Randy, when you decided to, and I remember you talking to me about this organization, and I could get the sense from you when you were discussing it with me, we're on the phone talking about, listen, I'm going to start this organization. It really was a good idea to get the film to release as you were officially launching the organization. Now, the organization, the Wounded Blue, has just really officially launched, the 501c3 and all, correct, Randy?
Yes. In fact, we had our official launch just this week during National Police Week. We timed it because I thought it would be an appropriate time to launch this organization, although We have actually been in action. I have a nationally trained peer support team, all made up of injured officers. They've all been shot, stabbed, beaten, run over, screwed up, and screwed over. And we've been doing peer supports now, hundreds of them, and already saved several lives.
Yeah, I know you started that. And that's really spoke to me as well, the fact that you went right to the core of the program, which was to help officers. I mean, that was the peer support. And that was the first thing out of the gate you did, which should tell everybody what the purpose of this was. Part of the deal is, Randy, you've done a lot of projects throughout your life, too. I mean, you've been on all kinds of films and movies and stuff. You've had a hell of a career, really, and all the way through. But how do you rate this? With all the things you've done, brother, and all the things you've touched in your life, how do you rate this experience?
You know, it's interesting you ask that, because of all the contributions that I've made to law enforcement, this is the most important thing I've ever done in my career. There could be no more important project, if you will, that touches the lives of so many, not only law enforcement officers, but their families, in such a dramatic way, than the Wounded Blue. I quite literally believe that this is the most important legacy I could possibly leave, because these men and women who have sacrificed so much for their communities, and given their, quite literally, up to the point of their lives, are being subjugated by a system that is basically corrupt. And communities have turned their backs on them. Police leaders have turned their backs on them, and they have nowhere to turn. And that's what we are. We are the Blue family that they should have had, and that's what we intend to be. Is we call ourselves the Blue family.
Yeah,
and that's the most important thing, because they quite literally feel abandoned and alone, and that leads to hopelessness. That leads to suicide.
Yeah, suicide's another problem out there, isn't it, Randy? Right?
Oh, it's out of control. In fact, this year alone, we are almost at 100% more police officers have died by their own hand than killed in the line of duty. It's wow. Out of control.
Wow.
And much of it is because of the abandonment and feeling alone.
I mean, think about that, people. I mean, that's a whole nother factor we didn't even get to cover up front here with Sergeant Betsy, Dr. Ron Dave, but Randy just said suicide. I mean, and like he says, I mean, they get to a point of their life where, you know, it seems hopeless. But let's face it, people, if you spent a career working for somebody, putting your life on the line and going through the kind of things that a police officer goes through, and then when you need the hand and there's nobody there, I mean, that's just not a good feeling, friends. I mean, that's can't be any worse than that. I mean, that's where that suicide thing comes in, because they feel there's no hope. There's no hope and nobody cares. You know, Jason, as you were directing the film now, let's talk about that with the stories of these really fantastic officers, these decorated officers, these people that were on the front lines. The one story of the, and I've seen her picture before, and I don't recall her name, the woman there up front who starts the story. What's her name, do you know, in the film?
Anne-Marie Carrizales.
Amazing woman. Amazing. Absolutely. Woman, what she went through. My golly, I just felt for her. What a compassion. Tell me about her, please, and that story.
Well, Anne-Marie was working for a police department just outside of Houston. And in 2013, she was working the night shift and happened upon a group of gangbangers, stopped them for a traffic violation. And little did she know that they had just committed a string of robberies earlier that day and were armed, probably thought that she was stopping them for that, and without provocation, unloaded on her. She ended up being shot in the face and right through the chest area. She's a former Marine, a true warrior. And in that sense, she got in her police car, wounded, and chased them for 10 minutes before a perimeter was ultimately set up and they were caught.
You know, Jason, after watching that film with that and the sights you have and the way you directed that, which was brilliantly done, by the way, just brilliantly done, Jason, you know, and I have to tell you, I just wondered how she survived. How did she ever survive that? I mean, the bullets were flying all over. You could see it all happening on the cam, on the camera, you know, the cam, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, it's a will to survive that all of us have. It's something that isn't necessarily taught, but through a combination of training and having, you know, what it takes to be a police officer, we all know that not everybody can be a police officer or has these skills or mentalities, but Officer Carrizales certainly has these. But yeah, it brings to light the bigger issue. Once these people are caught, imagine this, Malcolm. The very next payday after she was shot, she wasn't paid. Why is that? Well, because she goes into a broken, corrupt workers' comp system that instead of taking care of a police officer so she can continue to put food on the table for her family and pay her bills after a heroic action, she doesn't get paid.
Yeah, it is an absolute outrage. It should not happen. It is an absolute outrage. And when you see this woman and what she goes through in the film that Jason and Randy put out there, and you see the commentary from Lieutenant Sutton and what Randy just puts himself out there, you know, it is, we're all vulnerable people, but when we really put ourselves out on the line, which you know me, I do it frequently enough, but it's we're exposed, our vulnerability, who we are and what we believe in. And our convictions, you see, it really is. It's about, I think it's about heart and soul. It's about having heart and soul out there for a fellow human being. And certainly in this case here, what a remarkable woman she is. She's got quite the story. I'd love to talk to her at some point, and I'd love to interview her actually and have her on. I just find her remarkable. And the fact that she is such a warrior and her military background as well. Here's the thing about that, Jason. If that bullet was a couple of inches over, she would not have lived. Just an inch or two. That's it. Done. An inch, probably an inch, a half an inch, right? I mean, come on.
That very, very well could have been the case. And, you know, this is kind of brings up an issue that might even be sadder. And I know Randy can attest to this. We have many of our police officers out there who have this thought in their mind that if they actually are killed, they know that their families will be taken care of and that the departments and the departments that surround their area will pull out all the stops to ensure that things are taken care of. Now, survive that shooting, and it's a completely different story. They're left abandoned after a very short period of time. In many cases, their own chiefs don't even come to visit them. They're left to think that they did something wrong. And, you know, in this society, everybody has stress. Everybody has, you know, difficulties in life and makes mistakes and, you know, this, that, and the other. But add to that the job of being a police officer and the extra stresses that come with that, and then find yourself in a position where you did a heroic action, of which there are many examples in our film, The Wounded Blue, only to find yourself having to sell your house, sell your cars, and can't put food on the table for your kids because your pay has been cut by 75% in a workers' comp system that, again, is broken and does not take care of them.
I mean, not only does she take all these bullets and all this fire and gets seriously injured, and her life is altered forever in many ways. I mean, physically, mentally, psychologically, it's a major impact as well. Again, we talk about PTSD, and Randy covers PTSD all the time. But then she, with all these injuries, life-threatening, and where she's at, she then gets in her cruiser and pursues for the next 10 minutes, as Jason Harney says right there. And the film documents all this, people. It's wild. And what happens? I mean, that is, in essence, what you call a hero. I mean, she wasn't going to let them get away. She wanted accountability, clearly, and felt that in her soul. And she did what she did. And it's a spontaneous reaction that you get when things happen like that. But to think then, as he points out, then they're not there for her and she can't even get her check to take care of her family and what she's got to do is, it's beyond the pale. There are no adjectives I could give you. I had honestly no idea it was this bad, Randy, until you started bringing some of this out. I mean, you know, you and I have talked a lot over the years, but I knew there were things going on, clearly. And I know we've been under a lot of heat since Ferguson. And I know there's been a lot of political fire, which I talked about up front in the show. I get all that. But to think that it was this bad, which the documentary, again, showcases all that, So I think it's important to commend. I just want to commend you on the work you've done, buddy, all through these years. And I think to get to this point, it's a pivotal moment. And what you've given back to law enforcement, I think, is significant, Randy. Significant, buddy. And congratulations to you, buddy, for everything you've done here, man.
I appreciate that. You know, and I really want to give credit where credit is due. When Jason signed on to do this project, he took the vision that I had. And it was interesting to watch Jason's reaction to the people that we were interviewing. We originally had thought this was going to be a 12 or 15 minute quick video. And when we heard these stories, we both decided, and Jason said, Randy, this is not a 20 minute short documentary. He says, this is too important. We have to tell the whole story. And quite honestly, Malcolm, we could have made this a 4-hour documentary with all the stories that we had, but we had to make it palatable. But Jason did an incredible job of bringing this to life. Yeah. And so it was really
I agree. No, it's well done. I mean, listen, I've seen a lot of various documentaries and they all don't really cut the mustard in the way that this one is well done. It is absolutely worth it. I mean, I was really pleased. I mean, it's high caliber, high level, all of it, the music, the background, the details, and really to showcase those stories in a way that they deserve. And I think you've done a tremendous job here. So, friends, I need you to go get the documentary. I need you to watch it with your family. You can rent or buy. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's a couple of bucks or $7, $8, $10, whatever. I mean, we spend more on a cappuccino, so what difference does it make, right? Just go get the film, please. Watch it with the family. Spend the hours, about 60, 67 minutes, something like that. It's just so worth it. And it'll give you a good idea. Then I need you to share it out there. I need you to share information. Share the Wounded Blue, please, .org. TheWoundedBlue.org. Now, all the links are at America Out Loud. You'll find them all there, friends. But more than anything, what I'm asking you to do right now, please, is to donate to the Wounded Blue, our fellow men and women who wear the uniform to protect you and I out there every single day, friends. And that's how it is in America. That's why you have a peaceful country here, and you can go out in your neighborhoods and in your cities and towns. It's because of the law enforcement, who are the guardians here at home. And that's something to always remember. And we should give honor and respect back and help these men and women out. So please donate. The links are right there on America Out Loud. Friends, the state of law enforcement, I think it's an important conversation. I think it's worth our time and attention to stand at attention. I want to give a shout out again to all our fellow law enforcement officers in this amazing country, from sea to shining sea. We love America, people. Absolutely. And shout out again to Dave Smith, Dr. Ron Martinelli, Sergeant Betsy Smith, Lieutenant Randy Sutton. Thank you to the director, Jason Harney. Friends, it's all back at AmericaOutloud.com. My message to we the people, it's time to get involved and get loud. The Out Loud Truth continues back at AmericaOutloud.com.